Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 338, being recorded on July 15th. Wow. We are here today we've got Kale's here, Cynthia's here, Sujit's here, and Kendall is here as well. So we got a full house. And we're going to be talking about AGLS Gen 1 to Gen 2 migration with Rukmani Gopalan. So before we get to Rukmani, we'll go ahead and do some announcements and news. So who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Sujit.
No, I was going to ask, did you guys all submit your taxes? Today is the tax day, right?
I thought of like forever.
Long time ago.
Same. I don't understand why people wait until the last day. Like, isn't that
if you owe taxes,
stress?
You wait until the last day.
This is true. This is true.
Fair.
You know what I just get? Sujit ended up owing this year is what I just heard.
Sorry. I think, Kale, you put some stuff in the show notes.
Yeah, I can go first here. I just got three things this time. So the first one is there's this new website here called the Azure Partner Zone that's kind of, you know, consolidating a lot of the information that our partners need. As they're working with Azure or M365 or any of the different products associated. And really what it's doing is bringing together a lot of content. So not just like technical content about where to go, though it does have a lot of that. It also has a lot of event recording stuff that's up there. There's a lot of our CBPs and above that are talking up there. They have sessions and everything up there for people to check out. And it looks like there's going to be, you know, a lot more stuff being piped in there. Based on the blog post here, it looks like there's going to be quite a bit more stuff being come up there. So you can register to go up there if you're a partner and check out all that cool content that's up there. Second thing is the Azure Monitor. We've had them on the podcast a few times, and you know, they continue to expand into other areas of Azure to make it a more seamless process for you to kind of consume your either event or monitoring type data. And one of the things now they're doing is SAP that's in preview. So SAP is a big workload that we run. And we've also had guys on the podcast talking about SAP. And this is something new that in preview, not in GA or anything, but showing a lot of telemetry coming off the SAP HANA DBs, the SQL servers behind that, all the different pieces that make up these kind of complex infrastructure. So I'm sure for our partners or customers who are using SAP, this will be something welcome so they can kind of get things into a single pane of glass as much as possible. And the last one I had was around Azure Maps. Seems like we talk a lot about Azure Maps these days. I don't know if it's because of COVID or other things, but it seems like that team has really been like shipping new things constantly. And there's something here new in preview, which is really some more visual layers that they put up there. So lots of different kind of visuals from like 3D bar charts that are overlaid on top of like a country, different custom tiles, real-time traffic overlays. So there's a bunch of different things that they put up there now with these new layers that you can lay over top of these maps to make some pretty outstanding visuals, specifically for things around like location data if you're doing something in that region. That's it.
Cool. Anybody else?
I have an update. So Private Link is now GA for Azure SignalR service. And I know we've talked a lot about Private Link, but essentially basically using an IP address in your VNet to be able to securely through the Microsoft backbone connect to services in Azure. And so I just think this is great from a, you know, a security and governance perspective, not traversing the public internet. So SignalR service, especially when you think about the, you know, quantities of data you're probably streaming from some type of device or for your front end interface, things like that. And so I think that's a cool thing. I know that it's been in preview, but it is officially GA as of yesterday. So, and that's in all of the, I believe in all of the regions where SignalR is available. Yep. So just a quick update there.
Great. So I did want to jump in and talk about some certificate authority stuff. So this has been public now that there have been some CA certificates, certificate authority certificates that were released that didn't meet the standards, basically. This was coming from a couple of the big CAs out in the world. And so there's a whole bunch of certificate revocation going on now. And this does impact, you know, if you're running Azure services where you're bringing your own certificate. So there's an article that's out there. We'll put it in the show notes. But definitely if you're running things where you've brought a certificate and applied a certificate to your service versus using one that Azure is giving you for that service, you definitely want to check out these articles because you do not want to run into downtime when these get revoked and they are insecure. So you don't want to run them very long if you can help it. Okay, great. Anybody else have anything else?
Oh, yes, there's one more. There's actually a PART platform developer conference happening today. Cool. And there's actually a lot of very interesting integrations with Azure, and that the PART platform is not meant for just, what do we call them, citizen developers. They're also for like all, they're for all developers and not just developers, anyone that's interested in getting into coding. So definitely check it out. There's like a full day of sessions and have speakers ranging from like Scott Guthrie to a bunch of our different cloud developer advocates. So great. We'll include the link in the show notes and definitely check out PART platform.
Yeah, sounds great. Cool. Well, okay. So at that point, why don't we transition over to Rukmani? So Rukmani, if you could introduce yourself and tell us what you do over here at Microsoft.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me to this podcast, Evan. My name is Rukmani Gopalan. I'm a PM on the Azure Data Lake Store team, and I'm helping our customers run their large-scale analytics workloads and helping them with their storage needs. So we have an analytics store service called ADLS Gen 2 or Azure Data Lake Store Gen 2 that's essentially built on top of Azure Blob Storage. That's essentially the hyperscale data store platform for all our customers to run their analytics needs. And specifically, the efforts that I'm driving there are helping customers who are existing, helping our customers who are currently running their analytics platforms on Azure Data Lake Store Gen 1, helping them migrate to ADLS Gen 2.
So I know, and by the way, we just had Stephen Wu on last week to talk about, the parity and features between storage and ADLS or blob storage and ADLS. So you got a bar you got to exceed here, right, as we go through this recording. So, I know we're doing a lot of work to make this as seamless as possible, but reality being what it is, it's probably not as simple as copying your data and then just repointing it. What kind of things are people running into, or what kind of things do they have to think about as they do this migration?
Yeah, first of all, no pressure, Evan. Thanks for setting that bar for me. But oh well. So before I start talking about the migration, right, I do want to set some context and talk about why even this migration is required and what a little bit of a world history around ADLS Gen 1, ADLS Gen 2, Azure Blobs and everything, right? So let me start with that for setting some context. So sure. Around 3 or 4 years ago, don't quote me on that date, we essentially had this service called Azure Data Lake Store Gen 1 that was a service that was built ground up for helping with our analytics customer storage needs. The really cool things about ADLS Gen 1 was it had this hierarchical namespace with file and folders that it offered that was very friendly for running analytics workloads that are essentially Hadoop-based that rely on a file system that is file and folder-based. And giving this file and folder structure also really helped optimize it for hyperscale and really super fast performance that is very characteristic of analytics applications as well. In addition, ADLS Gen 1 also had a very fine-grained security model that really helped our customers meet their enterprise needs with fine-grained ACLs to manage access at a file and folder level. So we really saw a lot of customers taking a bet on ADLS Gen 1 for their analytics storage needs, motivated by this scale and performance that's coming out of this hierarchical namespace and also with the enterprise promise. At the same time, we also had Azure Blobs that was also offering itself as a storage platform for analytics customers. And there were a lot of very interesting motivators that customers made a choice for Azure Blobs as their analytics store needs, primarily motivated by regional availability, right? Which was available in all public regions, very low cost for storage that was very attractive for our customers. A lot of data management capabilities, such as high availability and disaster recovery options, or lifecycle management policies with data tiering, et cetera. So what we saw was customers taking a bet on ADLS Gen 1 were asking for features that Azure Blobs had, such as data management and availability on all public regions. And customers essentially who were using Azure Blobs were really wanting features such as a hierarchical namespace and enterprise-grade security.
And static websites, we decided. This was our topic. That's where we started last week.
Yes, of course. I hope everybody, the audience, gets the irony of this statement, right? Yes. So essentially, that is how ADLS Gen 2 was born, which essentially marries the benefits of both ADLS Gen 1 with respect to having a hierarchical namespace and offering these fine-grained security models with with Azure Blobs capabilities of this lower cost, all regions availability on a foundational storage service. And the way that this ADLS Gen 2 is offered is it is essentially not yet another service that we are building ground up, but it is a service that is built on top of Azure Blob storage. So essentially ADLS Gen 2 is a hierarchical namespace capability that is sitting on top of Blob storage that essentially gives you this hyperscale performance, friendliness with Hadoop-friendly workloads, the fine-grained security models, while the customers are continuing to take the benefit of this foundational foundational storage layer that offers the lower cost, durability, and lifecycle management options. So that is essentially how ADLS Gen 2 is born. And the takeaway that I do want communicate here is Gen 1 and Gen 2 are different services. Blob and Gen 2 are not really different services. So when we are talking about ADLS Gen 1 to Gen 2 migration, as Evan had pointed out, this is not a very seamless migration. You do need to move your data over from Gen 1 to Gen 2, and you also need to upgrade your applications that used to talk to Gen 1 and upgrade those applications to talk to Gen 2 with the relevant SDKs or the drive client drivers or the or any other libraries that you use.
And how do we expose that to users, though? Does that seem as, okay, here's the blob storage in the portal, and, you know, hey, here's some new stuff on the portal? It's like, is it just, do users think of it as an extension of blob storage, or are they, in fact, two things, and the fact that the one is based on the other is just an implementation detail?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sujit. So when you are creating a Gen 2 account in the portal, you are essentially creating an Azure storage account. And when you are creating an Azure storage account, in one of the options, you will essentially say enable hierarchical namespace. And that essentially gives you your ADLS Gen 2 account.
So that's the new name. It's the hierarchical namespaces is really the new name of the service. Like, I know we're calling it ADLS Gen 2, but it's really, that's the main feature that it offers on top of Blob Storage. Is that correct?
Kind of. So let me tell you that's actually, you're touching on a very, yet another interesting point here, which is the service is, we are using a branding called Azure Data Lake Store Gen 2 to brand the service, even if it is technically a capability on top of Azure Storage. And there is a reason for that, right? Which is when we are talking to our customers about their analytics storage needs, because there is a lot of history around Azure Blobs, primarily with respect to things like scale. I'll take it as an example, right? So when you start creating your data platform with Azure Blob storage account, the first thing you think of is, hey, there are these scalability targets in terms of a certain limit to, say, ingress throughput or egress throughput and IOPS that I need to work with. So let me go start designing my system, taking into consideration that I'm restricted by these things. But when we're talking about ADLS Gen 2, we are actually offering no such restrictions, right? Our customer promise is to meet the limits of what the customers want, and we help work with the customer to figure that out. So there are some of these subtle differences that from a branding perspective, it really is helpful for our customers to start thinking about Azure Data Lake Store Gen 2 as the analytics offering. And the way it would manifest, however, is it is a hierarchical namespace capability on Azure Storage. So when you're talking about things such as compliance, right, like any HIPAA or SOX or any other compliance, or when you're talking about data lifecycle management policies, you do get the goodness of this foundational storage platform.
Can I go the other way too, which is you talked about creating a new ADLS account, but I create a blob account sort of on the way. If I have an existing blob storage account, is there a checkbox somewhere I can say that, sort of layer the ADLS on top? I'm not backed into having to create new.
Yeah, that is a really good question. And this is actually one of the highly desired customer capabilities as well. Right now, you can't check that box and go from a non-hierarchical namespace enabled account to a hierarchical namespace enabled account. You do need to do that at create time. However, this is the capability that we are looking into seeing if we can enable a seamless path for our customers. But currently, we don't have that yet.
Okay, great.
From a developer experience, like if I'm developing on top of this, is there anything different that I have to do there, like libraries, or is this just standard like REST API and the normal SDKs we have for like JavaScript and Java and things like that?
Yeah, actually, that's a great question, Kale. And this is where I think a lot of what Steven would have talked about in the last episode would tie in, right? So as I said, right, the hierarchical namespace comes with the file and folder semantics, and a lot of our open source analytics ecosystems take advantage of this file and folder mnemonics, right, in terms of a Hadoop file system, talking to a Hadoop file system compatible storage layer. So at this point, we do offer a set of SDKs and client libraries that leverage and talk through this file system-based programming model. So we do have a set of client libraries there. Having said that, you are not restricted to using only the file system SDKs, right? So this is where the blob parity capability comes into play with what we released last Ignite called as a multi-protocol access feature, which is you can also use the existing blob APIs, which are the existing set of blob client libraries and SDKs, as well as the Gen 2 specific file system-based set of client libraries and SDKs on the same ADLS Gen 2 account. And what this really helps unlock, and what is really cool about this, is Azure Blob Storage comes with a really, really large set of very rich ecosystem partners. So we are not really forcing every one of them to go upgrade to a Gen 2 specific stack, right? So they can continue using their existing connectors to talk to the same underlying file system.
So I have a question on that. Curious. So is there a scenario where I'm a customer that's looking at Azure Data Lake and I choose Gen 1 over Gen 2? Like in a greenfield kind of situation where I haven't adopted this service, is anybody new going to Gen 1, or is it more like we're continuing to support those customers, we're building the migration path, but in reality, you would always go Gen 2 if you're starting, now?
I'm so glad you brought that question up, Kendall. Yes. So the situation is that any new scenario, any greenfield scenario, please do start off with ADLS Gen 2. And if there are any issues that you have, please do talk to us. But for most practical purposes, what we do observe is any new customers who are coming in to Azure for setting up their data lake strategy, they are able to be successful in ADLS Gen 2, right? So the migration problem for most purposes is isolated to customers who are already on Gen 1 for their existing workloads. And here is an interesting pattern that we are observing, right? So there are some customers who are already on ADLS Gen 1 for their existing workloads. So I'm also seeing that some of these customers are taking a strategy where for any of their new workloads, they start off on Gen 2. So even if they do have an existing Gen 1 platform that they have built, they're not adding more to it. They're starting their new scenarios on ADLS Gen 2 while they're figuring out a migration path from ADLS Gen 1 to Gen 2 for their existing scenarios. So yes, definitely anything new we are observing, and this is our guidance as well, is use ADLS Gen 2 for your data lake storage needs.
And I know in blob storage, they have this concept of SAS URLs, right? You can generate like a time-sensitive URL. And does that extend to ADLS Gen 2 as well? Like if you generate that, I can see that as quite a feature.
Yes, exactly, Sujit. So yes, it does extend to Gen 2. And this is, as I said, right, one of the reasons why having it as a capability of Azure Blob Storage, you are able to get some of these features on working on Gen 2 as well.
So that actually brings up another good. So for example, like I think something that GA today was being able to enable or disable public access to Blob Storage. So does that mean upstream that's also in ADLS Gen 2 by default?
Yeah, in fact, Azure Storage was one of the first services that lit up the private endpoints feature. And we already see customers super excited in taking a dependency on these private endpoints on Azure Storage. So it was actually one of the long sought after features on Gen 2 that brought a lot of excitement there for our customers.
So slight pivot on that question, because I think on that specific feature, you said it's on both, is the, you know, I know we, you know, Steve was on last week and we make fun of static websites, which, by the way, I love them as a feature. They're awesome. So, you know, some PM is going to get really mad at me.
So evanbasilik.com is running a static website.
Yeah. But like, you know, so Steven talked about a lot of these features, you're lighting them up on ADLS. When we do new features, is that sort of one of the basic requirements that we tell ourselves of when we light this up? If it makes sense, it has to be on both, or is there always going to be some sort of a, you know, like some might light up first on ADLS Gen 2 and some might light up on storage blob and vice versa?
Yeah, again, a great question, Evan. So as a starting principle, our goal is to make sure that any feature that we build for Azure Blobs does light up on ADLS Gen 2 as well. Some of these features would just happen without requiring any extra work to respect the hierarchical namespace. So that you just get it right off the bat, right? And then there are these other features that might require additional work to plumb through the hierarchical namespace. And those features, we have to make a case-by-case decision on whether we wait till we support both of these and then release it all together, or right. Essentially, you know, go ahead and make a business decision to release that feature first and then later support the Gen 2 feature.
So the intent is to do it then, is what I think I just heard you say. Technical reality may sort of get in the way once in a while, but that's the base principle. That's great. No, that's awesome.
Hey, can somebody remind me the original blob storage that we had? What was it called, the legacy blob storage account or something like that?
Are you talking about V1?
Yeah, V1.
Yeah.
That can't be. I am guessing that's we have to first move to V2 and then try avail this feature, right?
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking about it is because the Azure podcast itself is still hosted on a V1 service. and Kale is just asking about moving the podcast to ADLS Gen 2. And I'm like, wait a minute. Can we do that?
You could leverage the static website's capability.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
I think that's the only way we'll ever redeem me, I think, at this point. That's great. Anybody else have any additional questions for Rukmani?
What's coming down the pipe? Anything, any roadmap items that you would care to share with our listeners?
Under NDA, yes, but probably not in a public podcast, but definitely anybody interested in learning more about the roadmap, do give us a holler. You already know Steven, you already know me. There are other awesome PMs on our team who can help out as well. So please do give a holler. I do want to use this opportunity to raise a message to the existing customers on Gen 1. We do have a very rich set of documentation and samples that we have published on the Gen 1 to Gen 2 migration. Please do start planning your migration efforts today. And reach out to us if you have any questions or concerns. And we're super happy to work with you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, thank you. Great. Well, Rukmani, this was awesome. Everybody else, thank you. It's good to see everybody intently on Cynthia's part today. you know, everybody be safe. And we will talk to everybody next week.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you, Rukmani.
See ya.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.